Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
So today, we are talking about a subject that I've called Many People, One Family. Many people, one family. Last week, we were looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which talks about the spiritual gifts. And one of the things that we were talking about was that God is our source. The spiritual gifts come from God. And those spiritual gifts have been given, it says, to each one, to each person, to all of us, to everyone, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, for the benefit of all, for the profit of all. So we talked about spiritual gifts, and we came down to the truth that God is our source. We all have access to the spiritual gifts, but what we had to do is to pursue God, the gift that keeps on giving, and the spiritual gifts will chase after us. So pursue the gifts that keep on giving, and the spiritual gifts will chase after you. Now today we continue in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it talks about many members in the one body. So we're going to look at that. 1 Corinthians 12 from verse 12 and going forward. So get your Bibles, look at the screen, and let us read together. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. Verse 14, for the body does not consist of one member but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. We'll finish it at verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So what is our part to play? We know we have access to the spiritual gifts. We get to pursue the gift that keeps on giving and the spiritual gifts chase after us. But what is our part to play? As we look into this today, the first point I want us to be reminded of and to know today is that we are baptized into one family despite background, despite race or experience. When we look at verses 12 to 13, it talks about being baptized into one body, drinking of one Spirit. So we come into the body of Christ just as we are. Doesn't matter what your experience has been. Doesn't matter what you've gone through, who raised you, what country you came from. When we come into the body of Christ, God accepts us just as we are. When we talk about the body of Christ in the Bible, it's literally referring to the physical body of Christ. And we have access to a relationship with God through what Jesus did, what happened to his body and his spirit at the cross, through the resurrection, through his death. But when we're looking at this text that we're looking at, and a lot of times we hear about the body of Christ in the Bible, it's referring to it in a figurative sense of a body, a community of believers, Christians. We belong to a family, to a body. The church is the bride of Christ. Universally, the body of Christ. Here in Australia, the body of Christ. Here in Numa South, we are the body of Christ. So just as the body has many limbs and organs, and despite their number and differences, they make up one body. So Christ's body has limbs and organs. The church has many parts, many people. And we all have differences, but we make up one body. You know, the body's got 78 organs. Your body has 78 organs. And they're all interrelated, and they all have specific functions. And those functions are all required for the body to work in the way that God has created the body to work. You and I, we form the body of Christ. You're part of it, and we get to serve the body. In that text, we see the word body, it appears 18 times. There's so many analogies, so many illustrations that use the body in the Bible. One of them comes from Romans 12, verse 4. It says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function." You look through the word, there's many others. Ephesians 4, 16, Ephesians 5, 30, Colossians 2, 19. There's so many different places where you see the body being talked about. In the body of Christ, in the church, the one thing that unites us is our faith in Jesus Christ. The one thing that unites you and I in this church as we've come in is our faith in Jesus. When we look at this text, the Corinthians had been fighting about the spiritual gift. There was division, there was confusion, like we talked about last week. We see racial difference. It says Jews and Greeks. That difference was a fundamental distinction that was made by nature. We see a society difference between slaves and free. That was a fundamental distinction made by custom and law. But as they came into the body of Christ, as we come into the body of Christ, those differences are done away with. We're all one in Christ. Galatians 3:28 says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no female, no male, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." We are one body. Even John in the book of Revelation, he sees this vision. And in Revelation 7:9 it says, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages." He was seeing a multitude with people from all over the place worshiping God before the throne of God. A guy called Craig Blomberg said this quote. It says, "Church should be a place where people gather and get along with each other who have no merely human reason for doing so." Wow. Yes. A place that people gather and get along with each other, but they have merely no human reason. Just look around. Yeah. See who's around. Seriously, if someone walks in and goes, "Whoa, what is happening in here? Do these guys like the same things? Do these guys..." Like, seriously, God brings people together from all nations, different backgrounds, because of what Jesus has done in us and because of what he has in store. This is the plan he's always had in store, but the world gives us all these differences and preferences that divide us. But what I want to tell you today is diversity is necessary for a body to function. There's different parts in the body. Diversity is necessary for the body to function, but the body of Christ is unified when each part is interrelated and interdependent. So we've been baptized into one body, despite our background, despite our experience or our race. So that was point number one. The second point is God has created us for interdependent relationships, not independent lives. He's created us for interdependent relationships, not independent lives. When we look through verse 21 to 25, we see how the body is made up of so many parts. That those parts need each other. Have you ever heard someone say, "I don't need you"? Have you ever thought that? "I don't need you. You don't know what I'm made of. I got this. I don't need anyone." I think like that sometimes. My wife doesn't like it. She's like, "You never ask for help." I'm like, what's going on? The way I grew up, what I saw, because of people hurting people, people being betrayed, people being disappointed, I was taught to depend on myself, to be self-made. But you can't get very far like that. God has created us to be interdependent, not to live solo. We need one another. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you." Nor the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." We heard that in the scripture. Imagine my foot and my hand with no fingers. How's my foot going to get a foot massage? Like, seriously, you can't be like, "I don't need your foot. I don't need your hand." Like, the body has been functioned to work together. I know that sounds silly, but seriously, that's how it works. Sometimes we act like that. Just as there is purpose, use and need for every part of the physical body, there's an importance to each person in the body of Christ. You have a part to play. The body cannot be all eye without smell, or all nose without vision. You can't just have an eye and that be the body. Like, every part of the body needs each other. The physical body will not function to its fullness without an eye. The body of Christ will not function to its fullness without you. The body of Christ will not function to its fullness without you. If God has brought you to this house, to this family, to Pneuma Church, which is part of Christ's body, then He has a part for you to play in the body. So God has created us for interdependent relationships. He has created us for a relationship of dependence with Him. Through that relationship, God gives us so much for ourselves, but so much for others. You have something to give. I have something to give. What we have from God is not just for us, but through that dependent relationship with God, He gives us an overflow that we can give to others. So we all have something to give through our relationship with God. It says in Romans 12 verse 5, "So we though many," Romans 12 5, "are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." We're members of one another. You know, interdependence says, "I've got something to give." When you're in interdependent relationships and you have that attitude, you go, "I have got something to give. I receive from the gift that keeps on giving. I've got something to give to others." So when I come to church, it's not, "What am I going to get today?" It's, "What am I going to give? What am I going to give? What am I going to give?" Because we all have something to give. Animals, do you know how they think? When they want something, they'll go get it. They'll do whatever they need to do at whatever cost. An animal will do what it needs to do. If it has to kill someone, something, it will just do whatever it's got to do. That's what determines an animal's activities. But for the many people in the one family who have been created to be like Jesus, we think like Jesus. So we think about the well-being of the body, the well-being of others, not just what we want, but we think about, "What can I do for others?" No matter what gift you have or what gift you think you don't have, you have a part to play in the body of Christ. We all have a part to play, each one and every one of us, for the common good of others, to see Jesus glorified. One person, think about one person alone, no matter how gifted, cannot play a Beethoven symphony. Hey, Jason, they can't. They can't be in an orchestra all by themselves. One person can't act in a Shakespearean tragedy, in a Shakespearean play all by themselves. They can't do it. One person can't go against a whole team on a football field. I love the Cats, Geelong. Went to watch a Geelong Tigers game last week and we managed to win. But you know, Tom Hawkins, he's kicked 707 goals in his career. He's great. But he's not able to get on the field against the other 18 players just by himself. He won't even kick a goal. The kingdom of God, the body of Christ, is not supposed to be a solo performance. So then we've all been baptized into the one body. We all have something to give. We're to be interdependent and not self-reliant. But what really is our part to play? As I've thought about this and I'm thinking about this scripture that talks about the body, and I'm going, many people, one family. How cool is the body of Christ? Like, everyone's welcome. There's so much room. It's not limited. Anyone can be in relationship with God. Jesus has done it all. So as I was thinking about that, I thought, man, there is room. There is room in the body of Christ. But our part is to make space. How can you say there's room and then still have to make space? Jesus has made the room. But our part is to make space. If you think about the kingdom of God, you see, the church is a vehicle for the kingdom of God to be advanced. So there's an invite in the body of Christ to extend the family. Many people, one family. There's an invite to partner with God to see more people come into the family. But even just in how we do life here, there's an invite for us to grow relationship, to make room. So there is room in the body of Christ, but your part is to make space. And how do we make space? How do we extend the family? We do this by giving of ourselves. We serve, we build relationships, we give time. And as we do this, we're making room. We're making space. And the family grows, the body grows. So there is room in the body of Christ. But our part to play is to make space. So that's my third point. There is room in the body of Christ. But your part and my part is to make space. It's so easy in a room to just take up room, right? You can just take up room, then there's no space. But you've actually got to do something when you're in a space to not just take up the room, but to make space. I'll get somewhere with this, but going somewhere. Who are you making space for? Many people are to come into the family, into the one family, into the body of Christ. So how do you actually make room? How do we do that? How do we make room? Many people, one family. Have you got room in your immediate family? You can't really make room. It's hard, isn't it? It's like defined. But in the family of God, there is room. And we get to make space. So how do we do that? So what does it look like to make room? This is what it looks like. If we look at verse 26, what we're to do is to build an environment and a family that looks like this, like verse 26. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. What does that look like? Has anyone heard of the comparison trap? Hey? You haven't heard of the comparison trap? The comparison trap is when we get caught up feeling lesser than because we feel someone else is doing better. Right. We feel less of them because we feel someone else is always going to be better. That's just how it works. Someone, doesn't matter how good you get, someone will end up being better when you look at things in the natural. So we get so caught up in the comparison trap. It's like this habitual thing of measuring yourself against someone else. It becomes a habit. You're never going to be happy looking at other people. So what actually happens when we're trapped in the comparison trap is we're not making space. We're just taking up room. Because you're stuck in yourself looking at other people. Oh, I wish I had that. Oh, how come they're getting honored? How come they're doing that? How come they're going to San Francisco? Oh, do you want to go to San Francisco? I mean, they've been called to it. It's not going to be easy, but God's graced them for it. And we don't know what other people have sacrificed to get to where they are. And we get so distracted, taking up room, looking at someone else, when who we're supposed to be looking at is Jesus. That's the mirror we'll look at. And we'll never measure up to Jesus, but he says, no, 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 come with me. I know what I've created you for. So we get caught up in the comparison trap, but how we make room is by not getting caught up in that, but by looking to Jesus. And when we see someone else doing well, what do? We rejoice. We cheer them on. We celebrate. We don't get jealous. We rejoice with them and we honor them. So how do we make space? We don't fall into the comparison trap. Because there can only be one you. Steph, there can only be one Stephanie Machkasi, if that's how you say it. There can only be one you. Hey? Alan, there can only be one you, bro. Seriously. All your names, I can say them right now and say there can only be one you, Monique. But I can't get through the room because there are many people in one family. But there can only be one you. So we need to seek God and see what he says about us and not fall into the comparison trap. Someone said this, the God who crafted every snowflake unique did not lose his creative flair when he created you. The God who crafted every snowflake unique did not lose his creative flair when he created you. Because snowflakes are renowned for being unique. And God has made us all unique in his body. No part, even in your physical body, is exactly alike. But all parts perform different functions for the good of the whole. So instead of comparing, let's celebrate one another. Let's cheer each other on. When you see others doing well, be encouraged as you see what God can do through someone who's obedient, who's seeking God. Let us be encouraged. If one is honored, all rejoice together. None of this, what about me? What about me? You know, Shannon, Noel, Hannah, what did he say? Yeah, what about me? It isn't fair. Come on, Shannon, no. Get over it and look to Jesus. He's probably saved now. Take that off the podcast. It wasn't supposed to come through. So let's not measure ourselves against others. Let's look to Jesus. There's no room for arrogance. There's no room for contempt. You know, thinking that your gift is more important than someone else's is an expression of spiritual pride. We have to get out of the comparison trap, celebrate, and cheer others on in this family of many people in one family. So how do we make space? We don't fall into the comparison trap. Another way that we get to make space where Jesus has given us so much room is that we share in one another's suffering. We build relationships. In any family, there's going to be suffering. What do we do when one suffers? Verse 26 says, if one suffers, all suffer together. You know, some have given up on the church because they were hurt by people in the church. This happens all over the world because none of us are perfect. It's not an excuse, but people have been hurt by church. And what have they done? They've left the church. But what did we say at the start? We have been baptized into one body, into one family, despite all our backgrounds. So people leave the church, but the church is God's vehicle to advance his kingdom. So when one leaves the church because they've been hurt, whose kingdom are they advancing? They're in self-preservation mode now, and they're either advancing their own kingdom or maintaining their own kingdom. Some have walked away from God, denounced God, because they were hurt again. But there has to be a balance between depending on God and being interdependent. See, we depend on God, but we also have something to give to other people, and others have something to give to us. But there's got to be a balance, because people will disappoint. People will hurt. But when we depend so much on God, just because someone hurts us, we don't lose our trust in God. But we remember they're people, and we look at them through God's eyes, and we trust God. And even if your trust has been betrayed, don't let that stop you from being vulnerable again. So when we cut off the church, actually God works through the church. You know, his supply comes directly through him, but his supply also comes through people. Right. It's and or, it's both. So when we cut away from the church, some of us have been through it. Some of us will be tempted to go through it. Some of us will know people that are going through it. When we cut ourselves away from the church, we're actually cutting away part of God's supply. So we got to share in one another's suffering. Do the pastors always get it right? No. Do you always get it right? No. But if we continue to look to God as the head of the body, and we're motivated by love for God and love for people, we can move forward in what God has for us. So what's your response when someone is suffering? Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Romans 12:15 says that. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. You know, it's difficult for people to weep or rejoice with people they're not close to. But it takes time to build relationships. And oh, what great relationships we have in here. What great relationships there is potential for. But there's got to be trust. If you don't have those relationships, I encourage you to step out, join a life group, join a team. If you don't have any of those and you're going through something, when there's moments of prayer during the service and you're going through something, there's people that are equipped, that are trusted by the church to pray with you and help you with some next steps that you can take in healing when you're going through suffering. So no matter what, in the body of Christ, no matter what, just don't do it by yourself. You're not by yourself. God hasn't brought you here to just do your own solo thing. Just come receive the word, go and do what you do in the week. No, he's actually brought you in here to be a blessing to someone else, to be part of building the house. So we're to share in one another's sufferings, and we're also to not fall into the comparison trap. The other thing that we can do in making space is to serve in the house. How good is it to see Felicity and Jason just on the worship team? They've always served in the house, but they're in the season where they're bringing so much to worship. They're making room. They're making space by doing that. We're able to worship God through what they're doing. So we get to serve in the house. We get to be outward focused, dying to self, not just thinking about ourselves. You see, when you come in a room, it's nice to sit down, isn't it? It's cool, you get to sit down. When you go into a room, let's say you've been hurt, you've been wounded, or you're new, there is a time to sit in the room. But a time comes where we've got to make space. Serve in the house. God, what have you brought me into this house for? What is my part? What is my unique purpose? What is the thing that you want me to step into? Serve in the house of the Lord. One more way to make space. There is room in the body of Christ, but you've got to make space. One more way, and probably one of the main ways, is to share the gospel. Share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ wherever you go, with your neighbors, at your work. As you do that, you're making space for people to come in. Hey, Stella, share the gospel. Stella loves to share the gospel on the streets, wherever she goes. So in the family, many people, one family. Are you taking up room, or are you making space? When you walk in what God has for you, when you seek Him and obey Him when He speaks, you're making space. You know, Pastor Don and Hannah, Pastor Hannah, 5-6 years ago, they made space. They planted this church. And look, many people, one family. I don't know what your story is, but over those 5-6 years, you've been able to come in. This has been family. Because they were obedient, because they sought God, because they made space. And now, they're doing it again. They're going to San Francisco. They're making space in San Francisco for people to come into the family of God. They've made space by their obedience for us to come into the space, into the family, and get to know you guys and do life together. And get into all that God has in store for this specific family. Are you taking up room, or are you making space? Our part is to make space. As we spend time with God, we're making space. So we've got to make space for each other, for the people that are already here. I don't know what you're hearing today. But whatever God's speaking to you about making space, as you do that, as you share your sufferings, in your sufferings with others, you actually enable others to come alongside you and operate in the spiritual gift God is giving them to come alongside you. When you share what's going well, others get to play their part in encouraging you. So when we do what God has called us to do in this house, we're making room for each other to operate in the body of Christ. But as we do that, we make room for others to come in. Because if we're not making space for ourselves in here, how is anyone else going to come in? If we don't have people that are ready to talk to people that have made a new decision, let's say, how are we going to go with 20 people come in and get saved? If we don't have enough life groups, I'm not saying we don't, I'm just giving you examples. When people go, 50 people go, I want a life group, where are we going to send them? So we got to make space. We have a part to play. So that's the question today, guys. Am I taking up room, or am I making space? If you could stand with me this morning. As we've heard, we're baptized into one family. God's created us for interdependent relationships, not independent ones. You know, Jesus, He made space, He made room, and He showed us love. John 3 verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have eternal life." Whoever, He made room. He made room. And He did that in love. And that's the example that we get to follow. Matthew 20, 28 says, "The Son of Man came not to be served but to serve, to give His life as a ransom for many." Jesus has shown us the way. If you could just close your eyes. Who in this body, in this family, in this church, are you connecting with? How are you showing God's love? Walking in love makes space so others in the family can grow, others can come in. Let's be a people that do our part to make space in the body of Christ, because there is room. Many people, one family, not comparing but celebrating, committing to pray for one another throughout the week, suffering together through thick and thin, rejoicing together, serving in the house, sharing the gospels in the places God has for us. Lord, we celebrate. God, we celebrate the body of Christ, the many people, the one family. We thank you, Lord, that you made room. We thank you, Jesus, that we get to partner with you and make space. Lord, we ask you to enlarge our territory. As your word says in Isaiah 54, verse 2, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your habitation. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. Lord, we say we want to enlarge our territory. We want to make space. God, we thank you that we are a covenant family, a place where we can come and belong, a place where there is no judgment, a place where we come just as we are. Lord, we're ready for you to move in this space. We're ready for you to work through us to see your kingdom advanced.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God, and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.